This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
We'll call a Public Utility Commission meeting to order. This is Chairman Nelson. It is January 18th, 1:30 p.m. in the Matthews Training Center of the Foss Building. We will call the meeting to order. Commissioners Hansen and Feagan are present in the meeting room. Is there a motion regarding the minutes?
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the commission meeting minutes for December 21st, 2021, January 4th, 2022, and the show cause hearing on January 4th, 2022.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagan.
Feagan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Consumer reports, and I think we've got Kristen Edwards doing that today.
Yes, this is Kristen Edwards filling in for Deb Gregg. The commission received a total of 44 contacts since the last report was filed for the January 4th, 2022 commission meeting. Five contacts were related to telecommunications service, 12 were related to electrical service, 9 were related to natural gas service, 5 contacts were related to wireless service, 5 to the Do Not Call registry, 2 contacts were related to CO2 pipelines, and 6 contacts were related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 1,927 of the 1,933 contacts received in 2021 have been resolved. 40 of the 44 contacts received in 2022 have been resolved.
Questions? If not, Ms. Edwards, thank you. We will go through our agenda in order. We'll take up first TC21-124. And before I do that, let me just check. Pat Mostel, have you joined us?
Yes, I have.
Excellent. Thank you, Pat. TC21-124, in the matter of the approval of the petition for arbitration of an interconnection agreement between Mid-Continent Communications and James Valley Cooperative Telephone Company. And the sole question, shall the commission issue a procedural schedule or how shall the commission proceed? And obviously we were hopeful that we would have a schedule presented to us. We do not. And I'm going to go first to staff to maybe give us an understanding of where we're at in this process.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Kristen.
Okay. This is Kristen Edwards for staff, and we've been a part of a lot of back and forth over the last 2 weeks. And just before the commission meeting, I did reach out to Mr. Harrington because I knew he would be out of desk because he had a phone line, and asked him to file a letter so that we would have something in writing to start with. And I see Mr. Mostel just sent that and filed that in the docket a few minutes ago. So I guess I would suggest turning to Midco because they had shared a schedule with the parties last week that seemed to track with what staff was thinking. And then later this morning, Ms. Semler had shared some thoughts that we hadn't had time to dive into. So I would just recommend going to Mr. Harrington as sort of a starting point and maybe working from there.
Okay, and I just checked the docket and I don't see anything filed there, but we'll go to Mr. Harrington.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So Ms. Cousin has proposed a schedule, and I'm going to sort of work from the back to the front, which would have the arbitration completed by the Commission's mid-June meeting, so roughly speaking 60 days after the statutory deadline, but Mid-Continent would be willing to waive the statutory deadline for purposes of giving people time to get this done. As we said on January 4th, we understand that a reasonable extension is appropriate, and so we worked on a schedule that would get there. That schedule calls for when it was filed, it called for a discovery request to be filed by yesterday. We missed the holiday, so that would be today. With responses January 27th, briefing on February 17th and March 3rd on the bifurcated legal issue, the commission hearing on those bifurcated legal issues on March 15th, and then subsequent decision on that. And then we would start the actual arbitration part of this process with the pre-hearing conference on March 25th, leading to hearings on May 17th and, if necessary, May 18th, briefing after that, and then, as I said, a commission decision in mid-June. Altogether, it has about 60 days, as I said, to pass the deadline for arbitration under the statute. And again, the continent would obviously like this to be faster, but we recognize that there is there are things to be done, and this is going to take some time. And in light of that, arbitrations are kind of rushed proceedings no matter what you do. We try to make it less rushed than it otherwise would have been to build in time for a commission to think about things and act on them. And that's how we came out. I can give you all the dates if you would like, since apparently the electronic version hasn't propagated yet, if that would be helpful.
Let's go around the horn first and see. So we'll go to Mr. Mastel.
I have nothing further to add than Mr. Herring.
Okay, so I'm understanding that you are in concurrence with the timeline that is laid out?
Correct.
Okay, then let's go to SDTA. And Ms. Semler is in the meeting room.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, staff. We agree to all of the deadlines up as it pertains to Chapter 1, and that's what SDTA is going to be involved in. So the deadlines that was put forth by Mr. Harrington and Mr. Mastel both represent Medtronic Communications is the service of discovery by tomorrow, the response by January 27th, initial briefing on this issue February 17th, responsive briefs on March 3rd, and then scheduled for commission hearing on March 15th, at which time we would have the opportunity to present our oral arguments in front of you. It's at that point that, and I don't want to speak for James Valley, they're on the phone as well, but it's at that point I think that the parties may be part ways. Again, I'm not going to be involved, after that, but the concern is whether or not the commissioners feel comfortable making a decision on that day. You may need time to take things under advisement, and Midcontinent Communications kept the schedule rolling from there as if you were going to make a decision on that day. And, just hate to assume how things are going to turn out one way or the other. And then as a result, Midcontinent Communications has a hard, has a hearing date on the arbitration, which is really hard to put with certainty as well. So what we thought was a good idea was to march the days out. So for example, 10 days after your decision, that's when discovery is due on the arbitrated issues, and march it out 2 weeks thereafter, and march all the deadlines out thereafter based on a time frame to complete the task rather than an actual date on the calendar. So I just offer that up just as an involved party in this docket, but I won't be impacted by those deadlines. With that being said, I appreciate what Mr. Harrington and Mr. Mastel have indicated to as a concern regarding the desire for an end date, because there is some end date set in statute. So.
Thank you. So now I'll go back around to staff.
Thank you. This is Kristen Edwards again for staff. And I guess on any issues that we have or the companies have working through this, I'd have to sort of defer to them because staff doesn't necessarily share those issues. I'd hope that while the bifurcated issue is pending, that the arbitration or the actual interconnection agreement isn't totally on the back burner. I think that it would be a good idea to keep looking at that. And if there are any issues, be talking through those at the same time we're working on the bifurcated issue. And that's all I have to add.
Thank you. And just for our fellow commissioners' benefit, we were just emailed that schedule that was filed by Midco. So let me ask Mr. Mastel, you heard Ms. Semler's concerns, not her issue any at that point, but what if the commission doesn't make a decision on March 15th? How would you propose handling that?
Well, the real issue is the federal government, the rules do not allow for an extension because the commission wants to take some time thinking about it. But to be honest with you, if the commission were to take time, we're obviously not going to come in and say, oh, no, you can't do that. You have to decide today. We would be flexible at that point in time. But I think if we, as we sit here today, we can't just leave it open-ended. That just doesn't give the right flavor to the whole scheduling order.
Yeah, I understand, and I'm usually more than excited about getting decisions made, so hopefully by that point we're in a position to do that. Let me just ask one other question. Are any of the parties anticipating needing witnesses at this hearing?
This is Kristen Edwards again. By this hearing, you mean the March 15th?
Correct.
Hearing? Staff is not, no.
This is not expected witnesses for that.
Okay.
What did
you
say?
Okay.
Mr. Wergler may have been trying to speak.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Josh Wergler. We don't anticipate needing witnesses for the March 15th hearing either.
Okay. Fellow commissioners, any questions? Motions. I will move in TC 21-124 that we adopt the schedule that has been filed by Mid-Continent and that it appears everyone is okay with, at least through March 15th. Discussion on the motion. First of all, thank you for all the parties for working right up to the last moment to actually get something filed. I was not looking forward to having to do that on the fly. So thank you for that document. I think Ms. Semler's concern for post-March 15th is legitimate. I think we can wait until that point to figure out whether we need to deal with that or not. And I'm ready to move forward. Additional discussion. Commissioner Feagin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do appreciate the procedural schedule. It's kind of on the fly, though, and I wish certainly we could have seen it this morning before we came over to our commission meeting. As you know, you need to work with Leah Mora to schedule hearings and et cetera. So, it appears that there is information in here that it's when the commission's available. So they will, I'm assuming, work with Leah Moore. Thank you.
I think that's probably a regular commission date.
I don't think so.
We're just checking some dates, just checking calendars. Yeah, just confirming that March 15th is a regular commission meeting date. Additional discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carried. Again, thank you all for getting us to this point.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Commissioners.
And with that, we will move to TC 21-125 in the matter of the application of Celerity Networks, LLC, for a certificate of authority to provide local exchange telecommunications services in the state of South Dakota. And the question, shall the Commission grant intervention from any parties that may have filed? And in particular, that would be South Dakota Telecommunications Association. And we will go to them first.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Kara Semler appearing on behalf of South Dakota Telecommunications Association. SDTA did intervene in this docket, and I understand the applicant in this docket does not object to intervention. I've been communicating with the company, and if the commission grants intervention today, I think we'll be filing a stipulation shortly thereafter. SDTA company interests pertain to our service territories. The company did request a statewide certificate of authority, which caused for our interest in the matter. But again, I think it's as much as resolved, and we'll have a stipulation to you if you grant intervention.
Thank you. We'll go to Celerity.
Thank you. This is Michael Donahue on behalf of Celerity. That's correct. The company does not oppose intervention, and we have been in discussions on a stipulation that we expect the parties will file shortly after intervention.
Excellent. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is for staff. Staff has no objection to SDTA's intervention request.
Thank you. Questions or motions?
Mr. Chairman, in TC21-125, I move the commission grant SDTA intervention. That has been filed.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes. Motion carries. Thank you all, and that brings us to EL21-035, in the matter of the petition of Northern States Power Company, doing business as Xcel Energy, for approval of a credit mechanism for payments from the third extended Department of Energy settlement. And the question is, shall the commission approve Xcel's request on the continuation of the one-time bill credit mechanism, or how shall the commission proceed? We will go to Xcel first, and Mr. Kolbeck has approached.
Yes, hello, commissioners. Thank you so much for having me today. This is another DOE refund. We've worked with staff on this. There was a couple of things that we had to work through, so we appreciate that. We also have people on the phone in case there are any questions. Other than that, we'll stand by and wait for that.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat Stephenson of staff. Staff has reviewed the docket and discovery responses and recommend the commission approve Xcel's request to continue the one-time bill credit mechanism for the payments under the third extended settlement with the U.S. Department of Energy, including the 90-day deadline to credit customer accounts. Staff also recommends the commission grant a 30-day extension for the 12th payment, which would mean a deadline of February 23rd, 2022, to credit customer accounts for the 12th payment. Thanks.
Thank you. Questions? I have one. So if we grant the 30-day extension, does that change what 12-month period is used to determine who gets the refund?
I'm going to defer to Shuba, who's on the phone with Xcel. I had lots of other answers for lots of other questions. That's a good question.
No, Commissioner, that does not change the 12-month period. It just allows us additional time to process the refund.
Perfect answer. Thank you. Just wanted to make sure. Any additional questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in docket EL21-035, I move that the commission approve Xcel's request and the continuation of the one-time bill credit mechanism.
Discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chairman, when I first started as a commissioner, I was disappointed that we didn't have a spent nuclear fuels fund. I mean, a location for spent nuclear fuels, and that we did have the fund, and having the site location lost by, as I recall, by one vote in the Senate. Otherwise, we would have a site, and life would be a lot better for all of us. And from a standpoint of greener energy and better opportunities for baseload electricity and on, I just never thought I would be sitting here voting in favor of refunding the dollars, because I didn't want to see that happen. But so be it. You're entitled to that. The citizens are entitled to the money that they have spent for the purpose of a spent nuclear fuels location. And perhaps someday with the United States we'll have one so that we can have a greener environment for all of us. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Additional discussion, and I will say particularly disappointing that that one vote that caused it to fail came from a South Dakota senator. Very disappointing. Additional discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. No items for commission discussion. Nobody present for public comment. The only announcement, next regular meeting will be Tuesday, February 1st at 1:30 p.m. We'll be back here in the Matthews Training Center of the Foss Building. And at 4 o'clock today, the commissioners will be doing a briefing for legislators and the public in room 413 on commission activity. Anything else for the good of the order? Is there a motion?
Move to adjourn.
All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. We are adjourned.